Practice makes perfect. Learn Minecraft.
She started with plywood boards, a few brushes, and a dream that most people would have just dismissed as impractical. Today, Andrea Earhart is a globally recognized muralist. She's a six-figure business owner, a mother, and a mentor to artists around the world. In this episode, Andrea shares the real truth about making money from your art and that mindset shift that changed her career, and the power of not waiting for permission. We talk about pricing with confidence and dealing with those nightmare clients, scaling your art income to six figures, and how motherhood has made her a smarter businesswoman. If you've ever doubted whether your art can pay those bills or whether you have what it takes, this conversation will give you the proof, the perspective, and the push to go all in. So Andrea, welcome to the Learn My Craft podcast. Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, so my name is Andrea Earhart and I'm a muralist. I'm located in Missouri, so small town Midwest. We have a little farm here, like a call it a petting zoo slash hobby farm. And so I'm very much a Midwest country girl, sort of. And I paint murals all over the world. I try to stick to staying at home a lot more lately because I do have a toddler and a husband and, you know, baby goats and things like that. But yeah, I've always painted large scale and I've been doing this for 10 plus years. So, and we connected 5 years ago. How long ago was that? Yes.
I think it was 5 years ago now. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, so I'd love to hear how you first discovered murals. So have you always painted large scale or did it just happen by accident?
I have always loved painting, and it's kind of a battle, right? It's like you love it, but you're only so good at it so young. And so I tried drawing, I tried all the different things, and I just loved it. It was something about paint. It was so difficult to do, but the achievement that I felt from being able to make something look like the thing I was painting, whether it's a still life or we did lots of still lives in college and or whatever it was. So I guess it really started in college. I took a couple painting classes just really for fun and then decided, hey, being an art teacher is something that I wanted to pursue. And then I remember back in college, like everybody was doing paintings because we were in painting 1, 2, and 3 and still lives and just painting from the imagination and just all the things. And I always painted really big. I really enjoyed it. And I was a broke college kid back in the day. And so I would go to the hardware store and I would get these giant pieces of wood. And that's what I would paint on. Like I would take like a 4x8 like slab of plywood. I'd be like, cut it into like 3. And or maybe just cut it into 2. And I would haul these big things into the classroom and I would paint on them just for, just because they were cost effective. And I just like to paint big. And so looking back, it really makes sense now that I like to paint on giant walls. And it just kind of happened. I started painting logos for companies around town and then word spread. And I did a lot of networking. I was very social in my young 20s and just loved meeting people and doing whatever I could to make $20 an hour at least. And I ended up networking with a guy who worked with Bass Pro Shops. And he said, hey, I see you're doing logos. He thought I was this like expert logo calligrapher. And he's like, hey, I see you do this. Can you come and do that for the Bass Pro Shop stores? And I was like, absolutely. Yes. Thank you. And so I remember interviewing, and it's a funny story I like to tell sometimes. So I actually worked for Bass Pro Shops in the call center for their catalogs when I was in college, and it was a mind-numbing job. I hated it. And I actually got fired from that job, probably from being on my phone when I should have. I shouldn't have. And so I remember leaving that hiring office fired, like in tears, being like, I lost this job I hate. Oh my God.
Oh, no.
And then I got called back in to interview for this like art position. And I was like, oh my gosh, are they going to look and see that I got fired from this place? Like probably maybe 5 years earlier. But no, I went in and I was like, I just didn't correct them in thinking that I was a master calligrapher and knew exactly what I was doing. I was like, yep, I can do that. I can do exactly what you need. And so I started painting the Bass Pro Shop stores all over North America. We did Texas, Florida, I mean, Vancouver, Canada, New Brunswick, like everywhere. I want to say I did 10 plus in about 2 years. So I was gone away from home a lot, learning a ton. And then the job slowed down a bit, and I was really thankful for it because I got to come home and sleep in my own bed and see my friends. And it had been a couple years since I had made a birthday, or you know, a couple of my friends had babies, and I wasn't around to do that because I was busy practicing. I like to say that that job was, it was strenuous. We did 60 plus hour weeks, and but I got paid to, yeah, I got paid to practice. Actually, just this morning. It's funny that we're talking about this now. Just this morning, I found an invoice that I had sent them from 2015, and I logged my hours, and every day was like 11 hours, 11 hours, 14 hours, 12 hours, 11 hours, 11 hours, and I logged 70 hours in just 6 days, and I pulled a 14-hour shift on a Sunday, and I was like looking at that, and I was like, oh my gosh, no wonder I was so burnt out after doing that. But it was such a great learning experience. And I remember so many people came up to me and they were like, with your ambition, you're going to be so good in no time. And I'm like, can it be no time already? So, like, I appreciate you, but I am dying. Like, I'm so tired. But luckily, I mean, I was like 22, 23, 24 at the time. And so then fast forward, I came home and I decided to make a name for myself somehow. So I created an Instagram. I thought, hey, if I become Instagram famous, I'll be able to get jobs. And this was back when Instagram was like in its infancy. So I started posting photos and growing an online following there. And I did a lot of work for free around town just to get my name out there for nonprofits and just like places at the zoo so that I could do a big mural, sign my name, and then people would know me by that mural, and I could pitch myself to other places. And then word slowly grew, and I'd say after I was home for about a year of really hustling, then I got up to starting to be known around town, starting to build a brand, starting to getting calls for doing murals instead of me knocking on people's doors and be like, hi, do you want that wall outside painted? I can paint. I'm a local muralist. Okay, bye. I hated it so much. But through social media and just becoming the local go-to artist, nowadays I can kind of sit back a little bit. I don't have to promote a ton. And it's just in a really good place. And so I'd say 5 years ago, I started this thing called the Artist Academy, where I started coaching artists and I just taught them whatever I knew, social media and everything. And now I mostly just coach artists who want to paint murals. So I have this mural master program where they come in and I teach them from the ground up, like this is how you paint it, this is how you promote it, this is how you make the big bucks and on to six figures. And so now I do coaching half the time and painting half the time, and it's a really good balance and I love it. And I hear you're into teaching now too. Well, you've always done it. You wrote a book and do the whole thing, but now you're doing the teaching thing as well. How are you liking it?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's so nice when your students are like enjoying what they're doing and they're doing well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember a couple students in the beginning, they were coming brand new and they were painting on canvas. And I was like, okay, canvas thing is cool, but have you tried painting on a wall? And they're like, oh wait, no, that's scary. I'm like, I agree. I remember the first wall I went up to and I was like, okay, where do I start? Like, so I throw my canvas brushes away. I use a roller. And so I was like, let me teach you. And like, you can really make the big bucks painting murals. I found here in the Midwest even. And so I have a couple students, several actually, I think we have like 10 people now who have started in the academy as brand new and now they're making six figures plus. And so that's really cool to see. Yeah. And like some are single moms and some are just, it's really cool to just be able to provide for your family with a paintbrush and sometimes I have to like imagine myself back in the day of like not having a creative job or working those super long hours to like appreciate it now, because this is every day, but it's literally the best job ever.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's incredible. You've done so much with your career already.
Yeah, it's a good time.
So going back then, like, so you've painted all over the world. Like, what's the most interesting country that you've painted in? And what is the biggest mural that you've ever done?
In most interesting country. So I've been to 45 countries total that I've traveled around, some multiple times. Like, I've been to Thailand and the Philippines multiple times, and like Mexico and all over Europe several times. It's like, so my husband wants to now go with me and like play and explore, so I'm like, okay, I guess I'll go to Spain again. Like, anyway, but it's, so I love to travel. Like, just the past 5 months I have hosted mural meetups in 5 different countries. Five different locations. The first one, we did Florida in December. January, we did Mexico and Costa Rica. And then April was Barcelona. That was really fun. That might be my favorite travel mural in general, where the host, she lives on a vineyard area. So she's like, hey, I want something that has to do with wine, something fun and eye-catching that people want to take photos of. And I was like thinking of some ideas, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, you know what? What if I just pitch her something that I would love to paint? So I pitched her this idea of like, what if we have a cheetah holding a wine glass and we have some like greenery around him, and they're super elegant like, and I've used an AI generator to just create like a quick mock-up for her because I didn't know if she would say yes. And she was like, absolutely, that looks so cool. I was like, really? Okay, great. Let's do that. So now I'm on this kick of, I really want to paint really big animals. And if I can, like doing something funny, like a giant turtle eating spaghetti or something. Like, I'm pitching those to art calls lately. It's my thing. And so this year, I really want to paint big animals. I'm kind of a jack of all trades. Like, I'll do a kid's room one day really quick because they're fun, and I'll do a logo for a business with lettering another day, like back to my logo roots. And then I'll do, I don't know, I was just painting this Bigfoot mural up in like right close to where I live. And so I'm kind of a little bit everywhere, but what I really love to paint is just really big animals. And a bonus, if it's really colorful or doing something funny or just something that's going to make you stop and look and just think, oh, that's interesting, or smile or something like that. So I've always said like I'm a jack of all trades, but I feel like I'm finally finding my like thing, which is animals really colorful or eating in some way or drinking. So yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. I really loved that cheetah one. It looks very cool by the pool, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was so cool. So what particular mural, when you look back on all the ones you've done, which one like holds a special place in your heart?
From a profitability marketing standpoint, we did a trip to Austin, Texas, and we saw my husband went to undergrad there. And there's a bunch of murals all around Austin, Texas. I love it. And I came on the way back, we were brainstorming. I was like, how can we bring this to Springfield, this small town, Midwest town that just has very little art? And we had so many ideas come up, and I was like, you know what? I just want to paint like some butterfly wings. This was back when butterfly wings were not everywhere. Don't come for me, everybody. But back in 2017, I think it was, and I painted a pair of monarch butterfly wings in our downtown area. And the way that I wanted to do it, nobody else had any kind of say in it. And we just got permission from the building owner, and it was at this high traffic area, and I painted it, and so many people have taken photos with that. Everybody knows that mural downtown, and I got calls from LA Colors, this cosmetic brand in California. They flew me out to paint it again for their like cosmetic shoot. I've done like so many recreations of that thing, and it's got me so much business. So I really loved that. And that's what lately I really want to go back to that. And like that mural, nobody told me what to do. Nobody was even paying me for it. I was just like, I'm going to paint it exactly how I want it with little butterflies coming out. And it just exploded. And I'm like, that's what I need to do. Like if I want something to be Instagrammable or just really promote my art, I need to sometimes just go out and do it and not take a lot of feedback from people, which is really hard to do because I'm in the business of painting what other people want. I paint somebody else's logo. I paint a mural in somebody's business with their brand colors. And it's just, it's very easy to be told what to do and for me just to, you know, paint it and put in a podcast all day. So this year, especially, because we're thinking about having another baby next year. So that's nuts. So yeah, so I'm like, okay, this year I want to get out all the creative things that I want to do while I have a little bit of time. I'm sure you know. And next year I might hunker down and do some canvas work at home because I can't travel with a new baby for sure.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. I'm so happy for you and these big plans.
Yeah, we'll see though. I'm not pregnant yet, so I don't want to put it out there. but I'm such a future planner. I'm like, wait, okay, if we do this and then that and then that and then that way I can do this now and yeah.
Yeah, but I know what you mean when you say like it's hard to do your own thing when you're sort of in a commission business because you're always just doing what other people say. Like, I guess I'm the same because I'm a pet portrait artist and I'm just doing other people's pets rather than my own thing. So it's nice that you're finally trying to find your thing and like explore that a bit more because that butterfly one is so beautiful. I can see why it did so well.
Thanks. Yeah. And I feel like for the longest time, I was like, I need to find a niche. Like all the cool artists have a niche. Like I just discovered this artist. Oh, what's the name? But she paints lace everywhere. Have you seen those?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, why didn't I think of that? That looks freaking gorgeous. I want to try to recreate one here just like at my house or something. But yeah, I just look at all these artists that they have a distinct style. And with having a distinct style becomes a mastery in it, you know? Like it's, you paint the same thing over and over. I feel like it might get a little boring, but you get really good at it and you become known for it. And I kind of unknowingly, not on purpose, became known as the butterfly girl for a while. Like everybody wanted butterfly wings and I was like, okay, and now they're kind of overdone. And so I'm like, okay, new thing. I want to do something colorful, animals. I'm actually looking outside right now at a peacock. We have a peacock, his name is Peter. And well, I guess that kind of makes sense. Like we live on a farm with all these animals and goats and sheep and peacocks and cats and things. So I guess it makes sense and very on brand that I'm painting animals lately. Good talk. Yeah, I'm just figuring it out.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. You're being inspired by your surroundings. So that's really exciting.
Yeah.
So what kind of impact do you feel like murals have on a space? And what kind of feedback have you received from people that live in the area and the communities that you've painted in?
Well, for instance, I live just outside of Springfield, Missouri, in a much smaller town than Springfield called Rogersville. And I noticed when we moved here about 4 years ago, this town doesn't really have a whole lot of art. And what better of a person to bring it to there and create a name for myself in this little town? Because I feel like it's going to grow. And, you know, a lot of bigger cities and bigger towns, like they kind of have artists everywhere. I was like, this is a clean slate. I mean, we have a population of, I don't even know what it is, less than 10,000. So we'll grow eventually. But I'm like, okay, so I could, like, this is a blank canvas here for me. And so I started this thing actually a year ago. So Rogersville was once known as the raccoon capital of the world, and I want to bring that back. And so I've been approaching businesses about putting little raccoons all around the city. And we have almost 30 raccoons around the city right now, which is really cute. So I draw up these things on Procreate and then have them printed, because I figured that painting was going to take way too long. But so I've done that all around the city, and now I'm looking to do really big raccoon murals. And I'm like, I just think it's so fun. And I've gotten so much feedback from the locals, going back to your question, of people love it. People are like, oh, this is so cute. They, like, we spot these little raccoons. His name is Roger, of course. Roger lives in Rogersville. He's the raccoon. And he's like, we spot Roger all over town and he's here and there. And it's, yeah, people just love it. And it's a great way to marketing for myself, but another just to bring something fun and memorable to community members who are in this town every day and see these things all the time. And yeah, it's just, I think it just, art just brings a smile to someone's face. And it means there's so many before and after pictures that I have of murals that are, I mean, before is just a blank, boring wall or a wall that's like falling apart. And a mural, you go on there and it disguises so much of that unevenness on a wall. And it just brightens it up and makes it memorable.
Yeah, definitely. I saw your Instagrams of you doing the raccoon. And I think that's such a lovely idea, because then it sort of like becomes a game of like spot the raccoons and how many can you find. That's really fun.
Yeah, I think actually if I'm home with a baby, I might do little illustrations and like make a book out of it or something.
Oh, that's really sweet. Yeah, you've already done two coloring books, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. That was just kind of experimenting with something fun. Again, I think it's another thing of, I really like to do things, like you need to get that creative outlet out. And so I created my own coloring books with nobody else to have a say in it. And yeah, so I'm just wanting to do more of that. Like for the longest time I said, you know, I'll do anything for, you know, a few $1,000. I'm like, sure, pay me enough, I'll paint anything, I don't care. But now I'm like, okay, wait, how about I just want to do a little bit of what I want to do. Like it doesn't really matter the cost anymore. The cost just keeps rising, and it can only rise so far in small town Midwest. Like a lot of we have a lot of big businesses, we have a lot of small businesses, and the cost of living is low, and so it's harder to get the bigger paying jobs. And like I said, I don't want to travel a ton. I mean, they're there, don't get me wrong, but yeah. Anyway,
I guess you're sort of in the position now where you can be a bit more choosy as to what you want to take on with your time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that also goes back to planning. Like I'm possibly planning my whole next year already. Like 5 years ago, I planned, like, okay, I'm going to create this group called the Artist Academy. And this is what I want my future to look like. I literally 5, 6 years ago, I was like, I would love to split my time with coaching half the time and painting half the time. And now I'm finally there, but it was very intentional back in the day of like, okay, what am I going to need to do? Who am I going to need to help? And so having that extra income, but also just getting really just clear on what I can charge, how much I want to work. And for the longest time, I worked all the time. I mean, and it's so easy to do that, especially with people that I coach. They're like, I'm so busy. I'm like, well, this is how you fix that. And so how I fixed it was I had a baby and I didn't actually want to leave the house as much. And I don't want to work myself to death because you only have so many hours a day with childcare, or, you know, that you just as a mother want to be away. And so I upped my prices and I just targeted my customers, like mostly to businesses, a lot better. And to where with that, I don't work a ton. So I don't do 10 $500 jobs in a week. I'm doing one like $2,500 job, and then maybe I'll take on another small one if I have time. But it's just learning how to organize it and charging what it's worth as much as you can here in the Midwest. Art is not as much appreciated here as it is in other big cities, but there's also not the competition here. So I feel like it kind of evens out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like definitely having a baby makes you work smarter because you can't work harder anymore.
Mm-mm. No, working hard days is done.
Yeah. So going back, like, how long did it take before you started doing murals as like a reliable income? Like, did you do like a part-time job while you were trying to get a name for yourself? Like, how did that journey look for you?
Yeah, so I'll give you two answers, because mine was kind of odd. But so if somebody wasn't me and didn't have that happen, I'll answer that afterwards. But for mine, I So before I did painting, I ran a promo agency, sort of. Like, I kind of created my own, where I did this job where I, like, had a bunch of promo girlfriends from, yeah, and I would staff certain events. And so I kind of dipped my toes in the entrepreneur world before painting. So I had experience talking to customers and promoting myself and getting jobs. And so, and all of that, mind you, I was like 22. And so there was a lot of mistakes there, and just like reliability and having to hire so many people. And it was a lot, but I slowly transitioned from that to painting. And I remember, like, people reminded me back in the day when they would meet me, like, hey, you're, you know, and we worked really cool jobs. Like, we worked the Super Bowl for Pepsi, and we did the Final Four for AT&T, and like all these fun jobs. They're like, hey, you're doing that, and that looks really cool online. I'm like, yeah, but I really want to be an artist. And a couple people have reminded me of that, and I was like, oh, I totally forgot I said that. And but I just didn't think it was a possibility. And then I just networked enough, and like I said, I got that job with Bass Pro Shops, and it was kind of a luck thing, as in, like, I had the degree, I was working towards it, I had all this thing happen, and then I had this opportunity that came, and then it was automatic full-time. So I didn't even need to quit a job. I just, like, staffed a couple of promos, and I was like, okay, guys, I don't want to do this anymore. And it was, like, 0 to 100 almost. I mean, I did very few jobs here and there before I did that. The hard work was when Bass Pro Shops didn't have a lot for me to do, I came back, and I think it took about a year for me to get to where I was making close to that, like, $100,000 a year mark. Because I was doing that, like, with Bass Pro Shops, we worked, I mean, 60, 70 hour weeks. So I was making 100 grand, and I was like, this is amazing. I'm traveling the world and making good money. Like, this is great. And then they stopped doing it, and I was like, okay, wait, how do I get back to that? But without killing myself and without spending every night in a hotel room. And it took about a year for me to, like, with constant promotion and just trying everything. And I painted a lot of canvases. I did a lot of things. And so, yeah, say a little over a year for me to get to where it was a good income. And however, when I have students come in, if they have the opportunity to go part-time in their job, I recommend that, because putting all of your energy and your reliance on your art income can be really tough. And I think the way it works for me anyway is, if I have something to do tomorrow, like if I have to go to a job or something, that makes me structure my day today a lot better. Like, okay, I've got to get this stuff done. But when you are a full-time artist, it's like, okay, well, I'll put that off the next day. I'll put that off to the next day. And then it's a week later and you're like, I didn't do that thing because I have so much time on my hands. It's like, there's a lot of, prioritizing time when it comes to art. That's why I like murals. It's like, okay, I have a job scheduled. I need to be there and get that done. And finding time to paint for myself in between is, like, it's up to me to schedule it. But nowadays, I take Mondays as an office day to where I catch up on things. And I try as much as I can to also now take Tuesdays as an office day. That way I can spend time around the farm during the day and do a little bit of things here and there. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are paint days. Like, I'm out painting, and then when Friday comes, I'm tired and I'm ready for the weekend to come back. So, yeah.
That's a good way of structuring it and balancing it. Sort of like working in bulk then, like batch working your time.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. So, do you feel, obviously you're making 100K, so do you feel like it's possible for, like, I guess all muralists to have a supportable living from just murals? Or do you feel like you need to have other streams of income as well to support yourself?
Oh no, murals, you can definitely do it. And I tell people too, like, some students come to me and they're like, but I really just want to paint what I want to paint. I'm like, great. Okay, this is perfect for you then. So do murals 2 days a week and then paint whatever you want to paint 3 days a week. That way the bills are paid. Because with murals, I think it's because it's a bigger wall, and it's bigger, so the perceived value is bigger, and so you can charge a lot more, I think, than something smaller. Even though it probably takes the same amount of time, which is kind of crazy to think. Like if I paint on a 2x3 foot canvas and or an 8x10 foot wall, I'm just using a bigger brush and quite a bit more paint, but it doesn't necessarily take me that much longer to paint bigger. But since the value is perceived so much more, I can charge way more for it. So right now, if I'm out painting and I'm making less than $1,000 a day, working like a 6-7 hour day, I'm not happy about it. I am like, no, this is cheap. Like my customers cheap. I let them talk me down. Dang it. Like, so I don't do that as much now, but with murals, I think I started out making, so if somebody wants to jump into murals, so first you do several things for free to get your name out there. And then I made probably $45 an hour working for Bass Pro Shops, which I thought was like the most amazing thing. I was like, oh my gosh. And then I remember seeing the older muralists on site and little birdies told me, they're like, those guys are making $100 an hour. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to be 60 years old like they are and making $100 an hour. That's so great. And then I just realized slowly after getting out of that at work atmosphere that like, hey, I didn't have to wait until I was older. If I'm giving a quality product in a quality amount of time, yeah, I can charge whatever I want, whatever the job's worth. And so nowadays I'm probably doing like $250 an hour or more, which is so great. Granted, it didn't start like that at all. Like I've practiced a lot. I actually added up how many hours I've practiced in my whole 10 plus years, and it's been over 20,000 hours practicing with a brush in my hand. And I was like, holy crap, that's a lot. So, but even in the beginning, I mean, I say a new muralist, I'm like, make at least $300 in the day, and then work your way up to $500 in the day within a year if you can. And so with that $500 a day, you really only need work 2 days a week is like to really like pay bills and like have everything. And then after that, it's like, okay, then we can start with the vacations and like the things. And, but so yeah, I think it's super easy to do that. Cause like a lot of it's you're painting what other people want you to paint. And it's way easier to sell something that somebody else wants and has some kind of tie to for their business or their home rather than me creating something myself and trying to sell it. It's a lot harder to make that sell. But with commissioned murals, it's fine. Just finding the customers is the tough part, really.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. So how do you go about deciding how much to charge for your murals currently? And what do mural artists get wrong when it comes to charging?
Oh my gosh, charging is probably the number one question that I get from muralists in the academy and just anybody online. I just got a message from somebody today. They're like, hey, how much would you charge for this? Like, am I being unreasonable? Like, for me, it's a project by project basis. Some people do square foot, some people do by time. Ultimately, for me, I am mostly considering how much time I'm going to spend on it. I'm not necessarily saying, okay, 250 times 8 hours or whatever. I just look at it now and I'm like, that is worth this much. And a lot of it factors in, is it a commercial or residential job? And because you can charge quite a bit more for the businesses and not quite as much for a nursery room. It just like, for a logo, for instance, here in the Midwest, if somebody wants their logo painted, I don't create logos. I'm not in the business of that. Some people get confused about that. But I will just say if Joe's Hardware down the street was like, hey, I would love my logo painted inside on this wall that's 8x10. I'd be like, great, that is $1,500. And it goes out. It takes me a day to do it. It's 3 colors and the design is already done for me. That's that. If it's an exterior logo on a uneven surface, that's quite a bit more. And I'll often say that is $3,000. Maybe it's a little bit bigger and plus the lift cost, or I can bring a ladder or whatever. And so there's so many different factors in it. And since pricing is the number one question that I get, I actually made a mural pricing calculator within the academy where students can go in and before I tell them an answer of what I would do, like, hey, what does the calculator say? And they plug in, what area of the United States are you in? Are you in a low income area? Are you in a high income area? Because that does matter. Are you, because if I tell you what I'm going to charge, if you're in New York City, it's probably double, you know? And so if it's on corrugated metal versus it's on a flat interior wall, that's all into play. So I tell them, hey, go answer these like 7 questions in the mural pricing calculator. Let them know what size it is, everything, and then see what it says. And often the calculator will spit out the actual number that you're supposed to be charging. But so many of us will undercharge ourselves or look at that number and say, oh my gosh, there's no way I can give them this $3,000 bid, whatever. And it's, and so you just, and a lot of us, including myself, for the longest time, and sometimes I still do it, I undervalue myself, and then I end up being on site, and I'm like, why did I do this? Because I think for restaurants in my area, you can't charge quite as much as you can for like a big manufacturing plant, or it's just like different industries have different budgets, and it's just, there's so much into it. That's a good question. Definitely.
No, it's cool that you've got a calculator because I have a calculator on the Learn My Craft website as well. For pet portraits, yeah. So you can plug in how long it takes you, size, all that kind of stuff. And like you said, it spits out what you should be charging, but a lot of people feel like that's still too much. They like to charge less because they take into account the whole like marketing time, like actually, you know, valuing your time of trying to acquire that customer and all that kind of thing. Because that all needs to be included, your admin time, all that kind of stuff, not just actually creating the artwork itself.
Yeah, and I feel like before I had a baby, I was like, oh yeah, like I would just, you know, go to the paint store and I would spend time projecting, like at night you have to go out and project, or now we have the Apple Vision goggles, but it's still like, it still takes time even to send a sketch and all that. And I would like do all of those extra things. And then I would do the mural and be like, okay, I spent 8 hours on this mural and got paid this much. And it's like, oh no, there was actually all these other steps. And I think when becoming a mom, you're like, oh wow, I don't have time to do all these other steps. So let's like clump this in together. And I feel like that's made me charge what it's worth. Because people would tell me before, but I'm like, no, I have all this time. I might as well do it. I love my job. And so I think having a baby changes all of that. It changed for me. So now I feel like it makes me a better coach too, because now I'm not just like, oh yeah, just add that on. I'm like, no, charge for that. Charge for that time. That's like 5 hours.
So have you had any like difficult customers then that don't really see the value in what you're doing and they want to like undercharge you? And because they don't really get, I guess, the artistic process and all the work that goes into preparing and then creating the mural.
Yeah, for sure. And to those customers, I don't care anymore. Because I think about this sometimes. This is what I tell my students. They're like, hey, this restaurant wants this really small logo on a door, like a really small thing. How much should I charge for it? Like $200? I'm like, your projector costs $350. Like, let's charge more than that. Like, that's the iPad that you have to mock that up on there costs $1,000. Like, let's charge a little bit more than that. Like, $500 minimum. They're like, oh my gosh, okay. Yeah, because there's so many expenses, especially for murals, like projectors, ladders. I have scaffolding. Sometimes you rent a lift. Like, it's just... I mean, the paint, also exterior paint, the paint that I use, I really like to use this Command paint by Benjamin Moore. It comes in the gallon, but it's like $100 a gallon, and it's great, but it's also a big expense. So sometimes I'll line it out for people, but really when customers are paying a lot more for labor than they are for like the paint cost, a lot of people say like, oh yeah, that costs a lot because the paint costs a lot. I'm like, kind of. Like, I probably spent like $300 on paint for this like $3,000 job, but that's fine because you're paying me for like to know how to do it. Yeah.
Because they're also paying for the years of experience as well, isn't it? Because you might get it done a lot quicker than someone who's completely new to it, because you've got all the stuff, you've got the years of experience, and you know exactly what goes into it, how to start it. So that's also what they're paying for as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and I have to remind myself of that sometimes, because I actually just did a job the other day, last week, last Thursday, and I charged $2,500. Excuse me, hold on. I charged $2,500 for this exterior mural, if you call it, and it's just like a chair. It's like an outline of a giant chair on the outside of a furniture building. It's not realistic. It's not, it's just an outline of it, and it's pretty big. And I charged $2,500 for it plus lift cost. So I went out and I projected at night, and because it was too big for my Apple Vision goggles at the time. And so that was like probably an hour's worth of time there. And then I came back and I hired a helper, even though I knew that it wasn't going to take that long. I just really wanted to have the rest of the day done to go pick up my son, really, and go strawberry picking and things. So I'm like, let's get this done as fast as possible. So I hired a girl on. I paid her $200 to come, and it took us 2.5 hours to paint this thing. So for 2.5 hours, plus the hour projecting, minus the paint cost of about $200, minus my cost of having the girl there to help me for $200, I made like $2,000 in 3.5 hours. And I was like, whoa, is this like, but thinking of it back in the day, I probably wouldn't have hired somebody on to help. And I would have been so slow making those lines so perfect. And also just the know-how to operate that lift easily and not be up there and like be scattered. And also knowing what colors to pick. I knew exactly the two of just how to mix them and everything. And it's just, there's so much know-how in that where I was able to do it so quickly that I was like, oh wait, no, I've crossed over this hump of like, in the beginning, things took way longer and I felt like I was making nothing and I was having to redo things because I wasn't clear with the sketch or like whatever mistake that I would make. But this time it was so seamless and quick because I also now know how to hire and I have a reliable person that I've been through many people who are not reliable to get her. And it's just like this whole thing that it's built up for this moment, and it's hard to appreciate it sometimes because I feel like I'm like, wait, but I've struggled so much in the past, or I've gotten paid pennies before. Like there are other people out there who don't get paid this much. Like, why should I? Who am I to be able to do that? I'm like, no. You've worked hard for this. It's okay. It's all right. Like bask in it. Because I take that and I had painted for a restaurant a few days earlier and I let them talk me down because I had painted for them for years and they're like, we really don't have the budget, but we love your work and blah, blah, blah. They were so great. And I was like, you know what? Fine, I'll just do it. And I was like, whatever. And I was like, you know what? Jobs like this make up for jobs like that. It's now like if I added those two up, then I'm probably getting the average of what I would make. And I think taking things like that into consideration, it's like not every job is going to go so seamless. Things happen. We were just on a mural meetup and I'd say at least one thing goes wrong when we go to these mural meetups is where I have my students come and we paint in a really tropical location, really like Mexico, Costa Rica, wherever. And so we just got back from St. Croix and everything went wrong at that mural meetup. Let me tell you. It was like, we got there. The host was super unorganized that was hosting us. And it was like, there was a flat tire and then it was really hard to, it was like in the sun. And then it was, the scaffolding was a mess. And then it was just, I was like, everything's going wrong. Okay, that's fine. We're going to go for it. But it was a good learning lesson because I was like, you know, one of these things goes wrong at like every mural, it seems like. It's very rare almost that everything goes so seamless because I'm kind of a just wing it kind of person. I like to plan ahead, yes, and to do that. But I'm also very much like, okay, no, that's fine. Let's go. Like, it's just, nothing has to be completely perfect. I'm not type A. And so with that comes a lot of, you know, just fly by the seat of my pants. Everything goes smoothly. But then when it doesn't go smoothly, I'm like, dang it. It would be really nice to have a type A person that would have seen that coming. I have a virtual assistant. Her name is Anne. She's great. And she helps me with things like that. She keeps me organized. So I have that. I think it's just live and learn.
That's so cool, though. You just get things done, though. That's the kind of person you are.
Yeah, I'm like, just get it done. Let's just, if something's going to happen, we'll come across it. But planning for everything to go wrong would just drive me nuts. And I'm like, well, what if it doesn't go wrong? Then that would be so much less time, like, worrying. Like, there's sometimes where I'm, like, so careful about things. And I'm like, I didn't even need to, like, that didn't even matter. Like, I spent all that time. Whatever.
So every muralist probably has a nightmare client. Can you tell us a story about your nightmare client?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'd love to. I don't know what it is about me and restaurants, but like around here, they just don't want to pay for anything. And I had one restaurant / bar downtown. I will not name because I don't want to drag them through the mud, but you know who you are. No, I'm just kidding. They're definitely not going to listen to this, but I was painting windows, okay? I don't do a ton of windows anymore, but in the beginning, I really loved it because it was an easy yes. I could pitch myself to paint windows, and it was a good in for the businesses. So if anybody's out there wanting to do murals, like starting with windows is a really great starting point. So I was doing these windows. It was like St. Patrick's Day themed, and I get there, like I quoted them, I want to say like $250 or something. And I get there and they kept adding on and adding on. And I was like, okay. And at the end of it, they asked for over double. And I was like, hey, if you want to just do like $500, that would be fine. Like we did over double of what you asked for. And they're like, no, we're only paying $200. I was like, what? And so there was miscommunication. And I was like, okay, well, I'm sorry that there was miscommunication. Like, but no, like you need to pay what you asked me for. And it was bad on me for not stopping them and saying, okay, you're asking for double, it's going to be double. When I order a drink at your bar and you tell me it's $5 and I order another one, like, of course it's going to be $10 total. Like, I didn't think I needed to, but lesson learned. Just like line everything out for people because they will take advantage of you. Like, very rare. I don't say everybody, but a lot of people here in the Midwest are really great people. Like, I hear horror stories from other places about people who they're like, I am not showing up unless I have a deposit or whatever. I'm like, I'm good on a handshake. Like, again, this is a fly by my seat of my pants kind of a thing. I'm like not the best with contracts. I know I should be. I know I teach this stuff, but I have a contract for everybody to use. I just don't use them unless they're like a big client. But I was this $500 window job. They said no. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I was like, well, and they would not pay me anything. They were like, we don't think we need to pay you anything. You made a pastel rainbow instead of a real rainbow. Like, I was like, wait, what? Like, now you're just being skeezy and not wanting to pay me anything. So I went down to the courthouse and filed a small claims court, like appeal, whatever. And so I had to show up in small claims court. I wanted to puke. Like, I hate confrontation. I did not eat very well like the prior days. Like, I hate this kind of a thing. But I was like, no, I'm going to do it. And so I show up and I win the small claims court case, obviously, because like, but there was a little bit of debate because they're like, well, you didn't have this written out that this was supposed to be. I'm like, it's implied. But anyway, they ended up awarding me $500. Well, they, whatever it's called, my lawyer friend is going to be like, it's called this. Like, they appealed it. Yeah, they appealed it. So I had to go back to court. So I was sick to my stomach for another couple months, just being like, oh my God, I have to go back in October and like do this. So I show up again. I'm like, I've already won this court case. What's going on? And so the guy had a lawyer. And what I didn't know was if they appeal it, and you go back, it's not in small claims court anymore. It goes up to like big boy court, which you would say. And then you have to have a lawyer, you have to have the thing. And I didn't know that. But the craziest thing happened of this. So there was a girl in the courtroom that I kind of knew, like I knew a friend of a friend. And I was like, oh, hey. She's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, yeah, we're just doing this thing. It'll be fine. It'll be over. I won the last time. She's like, she knew what was happening. She's like, you need a lawyer. And so I go talk to the people. Long story short, she ends up representing me that day on like a 5 minutes notice. I briefed her for 5 minutes. I was like, he said this. I said this. He's refusing to pay me. We won in small claims court. Can you represent me? She was like, okay, here we go. And she's like my age. And so it was me and her up there fighting in court versus these two dudes. So it was very much like woman power versus the guys who were refusing to pay. And we fought for like over an hour in this courtroom. And then we won. And that girl, I ended up introducing her to her now soon to be husband, and I am the maid of honor in her wedding this upcoming September. And so, and that was really the first time that we like really talked. And we, I mean, that was 3 years ago probably. And so we've slowly hung out more and more, obviously. But now we're like, we're super tight. We send voice messages every day. She's a badass lawyer. And it's just so crazy how my worst customer, like something that was making me sick, like ended up in this just beautiful thing that's now happening. It's like the world works in crazy ways.
Gosh, that must have been so scary. I'd so be terrified of taking someone to court. So have you learned from that then? Do you feel like you've learned from it? Do you do some sort of written something, even if it's not a contract?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I should use a contract. But now I just make sure everything is written out. And because I know now from going to court that they brought up my Instagram messages. I printed out the Instagram messages and they read them out loud. Like, defendant says blah, blah, blah. Like, and I was like, okay, this works. This is good. So now, especially with budgeting, I don't assume that people have $200 more, whatever, to spend. Like, some people just are super tight with that. And so if it's going to be any more, I very much may like, okay, I can do this, this, and this for this amount. If you want more, it's going to be this amount. I actually just did that with a restaurant here recently. They wanted more things. And I was like, if we do that, it's going to be this amount more. And just that. So that's what I've learned from that. It's to be very clear, even if not in a contract, in some kind of form of writing. And when I talk to people on the phone, even if they say it's good, I will then text them, which I, very informal, I just like to text and talk on the phone and say, so I'll be like, just to recap, you said this and this, we're doing this on this date, blah, blah. That way I can also look back on it whenever I'm like, when was I supposed to do that? Like, it's in my calendar, but just to make sure I told him that date, I can go back and reference it. That way we both can, because life is busy. And sometimes I book out a month or two in advance and you just forget. Like, I planted my garden a month ago and I'm like, I have no idea what's planted where, because I was like, I'm going to remember this. I don't. I'm like, well, kale is somewhere. I don't know.
Oh dear. Yeah. No. Client communication, I think, is the number one thing, isn't it, when you're being commissioned to do stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you tell me more about your mural painting process and the technology that you've implemented as well with your Apple goggles and things? Because that sounds really cool.
Sure. So I asked for the Apple goggles for my birthday / Christmas, and they were a crazy amount. They were like a few thousand dollars. I did not know that the MetaQuest existed. That's the other goggle type thing that people are using that costs quite a bit less. But I got the Apple Vision goggles. They're amazing because I have a Mac and an iPad and an iPhone and the whole thing. And so it's really great because I can just make this sketch on my iPad and airdrop it to my Apple goggles. And then I put those on and I can put the image up on the wall and literally size it with my hands and then click it in place. And I can just do the outline really quick. And I typically don't go up to a wall and do every little bitty detail. I'm just like, okay, here's the head, nose, eye. Okay, here's a tail that goes off here or something. And just, it's really quick, but it's great because now with those, I don't have to go out at night all the time. Right now there's like a size issue. They're fixing it, by the way. I actually talked to the DaVinci Eye people recently. So you use the DaVinci Eye or the Mural Maker app and on the Apple Vision goggles to make it on project on the wall, and it just wasn't going big enough. And so I wrote them on Instagram and tagged them in a couple videos. And then I got on a call with them and I was like, can you make it bigger? And they're like, sure, no problem. I was like, okay, great. And so, yeah, that was just 2 weeks ago. And so they're doing a new update to where you can make it a lot bigger now. So I will hopefully never have to go out and project at night and miss bedtime, because now with a baby, it's like a whole thing, or a toddler. And yeah, they're just, this is such a great time to be a muralist with the iPad, especially just having that pencil to draw digitally, and with the Apple goggles, everything is so much easier. Because I got so much shit in the beginning for using even a projector. Like, I was around all these older artists at the Bass Pro Shops people, and they're like, "You don't grid it out?" I'm like, "No, I don't want to do those squares. No, I'm just gonna pop it on the wall, and that way they can see what it looks like too, and I don't have to redraw it, and it just takes like way less time." And then after a while, everybody was using that. And then when I first got the Apple goggles, I posted a video, so many hate comments. I'm like, this is the projector all over again. And like, people hate new things. So, but yeah, I am all on the new technology stuff. I think it's so great. I even use AI a lot to create mock-ups and stuff. Like, it's not painting it for me, but I'm just like creating the ideas really quickly, pasting them together, and then painting it to look different.
No, that's so great. I love technology too. Like, I get the same hate for using a light box, but it makes everything easier and quicker, and it means I can do a better job.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what inspired you to start teaching then and start the Artist Academy?
I remember how difficult it was in the beginning. I have such an ambition, and I always knew that I wanted to do something big in terms of like painting murals or just like doing something that I loved. And I was so unwilling to settle for a job that I did not love. And it just like tore me apart inside, just not knowing what to do. And back then, when I talked to other muralists, they would say, "Oh, there's not a whole lot of work out there outside of Bass Pro Shops," or, "Oh, you know, like it's just, there's so much negativity around it." And so I was looking around, I'm like, I don't know anybody to ask. I'm just gonna try throwing spaghetti at the wall. And it was so hard, and I was so flustered. And it was like, it affects your whole life. Because I remember going and painting one day, and then like, knowing that I don't have anything on the books, knowing that I didn't have anything scheduled for the next couple weeks, and it like affects your everything. It affects being out with your friends and not being able to like buy dinner or whatever. It's like, it's just not having that stability is really hard. And so I started the Artist Academy, and I help artists gain that stability quicker. And it just gives them somebody to come to ask questions as much as they want. We have a Facebook group where artists come in and they post questions all the time. And I have not just me in there, but other six-figure artists that have already gone through the academy who are putting in their input. And then for people who want to work one-on-one with me, I'm not currently taking it on, but I probably do it soon, maybe. I don't know. It's a lot of work. So I take on these one-year commitments where I coach somebody one to like two or three. So we get in a really small group and we show up every single week, and I coach them and I give them, okay, this is what you're doing this week. These are the answer to the questions that you've had from the things that you've tried this last week. And it's so great. Like, I have this one student, she prefers not to be named because she doesn't like the promotion, but she is so great. She does everything I say. She's like, "Hey, I really want to paint at this bar." I was like, "How do I get in there?" I was like, "Okay, this is what you do. You go in the bar, you order a shot, and then you talk to the manager, because then you're like, you have your liquid courage going on." And they say, "Hey," and I give her the exact script of what to say to get this bar owner to say, to be interested and whatever. And like, if that doesn't work, then we're doing this. If that doesn't work, then we're doing that. So like, I help students troubleshoot when problems occur, because there's always some kind of problem. Even now, like I said, like having like murals in other countries, it's just, there's so many things that come up. And so I do one-on-one stuff with people, but I also have the low-cost membership. It's only $37 a month, and it has a lot of everything I've ever done. So like, for years, anytime I would paint something or I would acquire a new customer, I would pull up my camera, show people, "Hey, this is the painting technique," or, "This is how you paint really quickly," or, "This is how you do this," or, "This is how you do a really straight line on uneven surfaces." And it's like, all of that is in the academy for people to view whenever they want. And yeah, it's like the thing that I wish I had when I was younger, because I remember looking at other artists and being like, "Can you help me? Can you please?" And so if I could just pay like $37 a month to have unlimited help, like, please sign me up. Like, anything to just like take that off of my anxiety level, anything to make it easier. Because being an artist is really hard. The barrier to entry is low, but the success rate is also low. It's because it's hard. It's hard to prioritize your time. It's hard to gather up the courage to go do something. It's just hard.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you think that artists often struggle with when it comes to the business side of things?
Number one thing, if I can get them past the gaining the courage to do it, that's the first step. Because a lot of people will come to me and like they're seeing all these other artists on Instagram and all the things, and they're like, well, I'm not good enough, or who am I to do that? And I'm like, okay, well, go practice, and then like let's just go, or take a shot or whatever. Like, having that courage is the first thing, and then knowing what to say is the second thing. People just, you know, just to get straight to the point. So I help them with that. I give them scripts, like, go up to this person, say this. This is exactly what you say to get what you want. And then another thing is just knowing where to go. There are so many avenues of ways to gather mural clients, which is you can go pitch yourself in person, pitch through email. I've been pitching through LinkedIn lately. I like that. You can, social media is how I built my business in the early days. There's so many different things. And so I help people just figure out the thing that they could do right now in a step-by-step thing to not waste a bunch of time in other directions.
Yeah, definitely. So if you had one, so can you share one success story from the Artist Academy that sums up exactly why you do what you do, and what would that be?
Sure. Yeah, my favorite story to tell is there was this artist, and she came to me when I first started the Academy, so probably like 5-6 years ago. And she was painting on canvases and doing stuff in galleries. And I was like, okay, there's this mural thing. I was telling her about it. And then around the holidays, her dryer broke. And she's a single mom of two little boys. And she's like, Adria, how do I make money right now? Like, I need money now. I was like, okay, you go here and you go pitch yourself to this person, and then you go to, like, and then we're going to do windows, and then we're going to do, like, and so I helped her, and now she had enough money to pay for her dryer and buy her kids Christmas presents. And I was like, whoo. And being raised by a single mom myself, my mom and dad split when I was like 5. And so my mom was out on her own making very little. Like, we were definitely in poverty range. And growing up with that, that was a really big motivator for me to just like help the single moms out there. And it's a double-edged sword, because it's like I also have so many holdbacks on charging. Like, for the longest time I was like, I can't charge this and that. Like, I've really worked to grow it, and so that's what I also help teach my students. It's like, you can charge what you're worth. It's okay. Like, it doesn't make you bad, even though I still struggle with it today. And yeah, that artist went on, and she currently makes 6 figures doing murals, and she bought a beautiful home with her new husband. And yeah, it's cool to see somebody just come up from that, because there's so much confidence that comes with that when you're able to provide for your family, and there's no like, oh my gosh, the car broke, like there's not a weight, like the weight comes off when you're able to provide. And it's just, and you're in a way better mood all day when you're able to do that with a paintbrush. I think it's way more fun. I remember the first time I went out and bought painting supplies for myself to go out and actually do a job that I was like getting paid to do. I was like, this is so much fun. And so I try to remember that nowadays when I'm like, oh yeah, this is just part of the job. I'm like, no, this is fun. This is actually really fun. And I'm sure if somebody sat me in that call center again and was like, do this job for a day, I would be like, get me out of here. Like, it's, yeah, this is the best job in the world.
So looking back, what is the biggest lesson from your own mural journey that's taught you about art and life and yourself?
Let me think on this one for a second. I think it's just that I can do anything that I set my mind to. And so I started this when I was so young and my frontal lobe wasn't quite like developed yet. And so I didn't have a lot of those fears that sometimes my students have when they're like, oh, I don't feel worthy, or oh, I blah, blah, blah. Like, I started so young that I was like, I just didn't have that. I was young and dumb and like didn't even think about the consequences of it. And so, but it taught me that I can create anything that I want. And if I really want something bad enough and if I work hard enough at it, I can do it. And I do that. I carry that into now because now, like, you know, I sometimes think about pivoting into different areas and just like maybe I want to do 100 coloring books or maybe I want to do this and that. It's like whatever it is, I know that I can do it because I've already done this really hard thing. And starting a mural business is hard. Being an artist as you're living, it's really hard. And if you can do that and keep it going and at a high level and add coaching in it and like do all these things, it's like it's taught me that like it doesn't have to happen right now, but it's taught me to create like a long-term plan and then break it down into small segments. Like this year, I love to make goals like we all do in January. I'm like, I want to make so much this year. And this year I was like, okay, I want to make $300,000 in my art business this year, which would be quite a bit of a jump because I was around the 200 last year. And it sounds super scary, but especially as a mom who only paints so many times a day and has like 7 hours in the day to work at most. But I made this goal and I was like, okay, I'm going to try to make 300,000 this year. And then the first quarter I was like, okay, I got to break this up because I'm like, okay, I can't just be like a year goal. I need to have markers to make sure I'm making it. So I did a challenge of $100,000 in the first 100 days of the year. And I fell just short. I was at like 84,000 or something. But if you get that out to like per quarter, because 100,000 or 100 days is not quite the full quarter, I'm like right at that 100K already in that for this first year in the first quarter. And so if I continue this, I'm like right on track to do that 300K this year. And I'm like, holy crap, like just making big goals that are just outside of I don't know if I'm going to do it right now, to be honest. Like this whole week, I'm like, you know, it's kind of nice to like just sit on the farm and not hustle and like just spend extra time with my son. And like, so I'm like kind of chilling right now, but I could pick it up next week. I don't know. It just kind of depends. But I think if I don't hit the 300, it's like, whatever, I'll be close to it. And it's still really great. Like that's still, especially since I'm not working myself to death anymore. And it's like with art money, like this is so great. And so it's just taught me to like really set goals that are a little bit scary. And if I don't hit it this year, maybe I'll hit it next year. And it's just longevity also. Like if it doesn't happen this week or this month or this year, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's just going to take a little bit longer. And I'm going to be painting until I'm like 90. So it's fine.
That's so incredible. What an amazing goal that you're trying to reach.
Thanks. Yeah. Can you imagine us like doing a follow-up on here when we have like gray hair and stuff? We should do that.
Yeah.
Who knows?
We should.
We're going to have like Apple
goggles. Every 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have Apple goggles on. So we're going to feel like we're in the same room together or something.
Yeah,
like,
that would
like
be
remember?
Fun.
Yeah. Remember when we used to do Zoom?
We be in the same room.
Yeah. One day.
Yes, exactly. So for a mural artist just starting out and they're all nervous, what would be your advice as in like the first step that they should take for their journey?
The first step would either be to go out and paint some windows if you want some experience talking to customers, painting what they want you to paint, and pitching yourself and sending invoices. Like it's a really great customer transaction experience of painting windows, and it starts to get your name out there. And then the second piece, this is in two. So that's a really good one for that. But if you want also experience painting large scale and you know what you like to paint, go find a wall locally, bonus if it's for a nonprofit that couldn't pay for it anyway, and try to pitch somebody this idea that you have, that you really want to paint, the thing that you want to be known for. That's the thing. Like, what do you want to be hired over and over and over again for? Go out, paint it to the best of your ability, promote the heck out of it. Like videos, photos, like photo of you starting, photo of you in the middle, photo of you in the end, three videos of the process photo, like videos of it, and just like a reveal video, like a trick video, like just promote the heck out of it. Make 6, 7, 8 different pieces of content on that one video or that one mural, because then it gets you used to promoting yourself and people do not get tired of it. I posted so many things. Like, I posted this eagle mural that I did like 3 different times and my friend's like, "You did a mural of an eagle?" I'm like, "You're my friend. You follow me. You should know this." She's like, "I totally missed it." I'm like, "Okay, well, I need to just post about it more." Like, people love that. I bring back content from years past all the time. And I mean, not like too far past, because like the stuff I did years and years ago, like, isn't very good anymore, I don't think, but you know, just from the past couple of years. But yeah, so do those two things and promote the shit out of it is just my biggest pieces of advice. But actually doing it, because a lot of people think about doing it and then they'll talk themselves out of it. Like, "Well, no, I don't want to do that because of this, this, and that," or "No, I have a family to provide for," or "No, blah, 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 blah." And it's like, no, just do it. Just like take a day off work and go do that.
Yeah, so easy to come up with so many excuses, isn't it, to like talk yourself out of doing the thing that you've always wanted to do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Andrew. It's been incredible chatting with you, and I love catching up and talking through all of your journey and learning more about that. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, sure thing. It's good catching up with you too, and thanks for having me on. Thank you.
If you've enjoyed listening, remember you can watch this podcast with video and no ads at learnmycraft.com, where you'll also find animal art practice journals, books, and tutorials to get you started. Hit subscribe and follow the podcast, and we'll see you next time.